Let's open our Bibles, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. These verses are very familiar with us, and I trust that you'll not let the familiarity of the Scriptures take away from its impact in your life, if you're not careful. And I know I battle it when a pastor or a preacher or somebody says, turn to such and such a verse or passage, and if it's, you know, pretty familiar to me. Sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll just casually turn, you know. But we can always learn. We've never went so far that we know it all, okay? And even if you know it, we need to be refreshed. We need our minds refreshed and our hearts refreshed, because God's people need help. God's people need help in this hour. And to be honest with you, we cannot afford to give away one service. I mean, to just come in here and say, well, you know, we'll be back again Wednesday night, you know, we'll just dom around with this service, not really get in it, not really get involved. We'll listen to the physical over the spiritual, and we'll be back Wednesday. Maybe things will happen then. Maybe we may not be here Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, this thing may be over Wednesday. Somebody might be on the verge of a spiritual breakdown tonight and may not make it to Wednesday. We can't afford, church, to lose one service. This is an opportunity. We are given a golden opportunity tonight to assemble and to worship the Lord in freedom and spirit and truth. And we ought to take advantage of that and receive from it and put into it as well. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just want to encourage you tonight. You say, preach, I'm all right. Well, somebody next to you may not be all right. You know, I'm not about to go on and preach. I'm all right. I'm doing okay. You know, I'm doing okay. Well, there may be some in the service tonight that's you know, they're about to flatline, you know, spiritually. You know, they're about goners. And you say, preacher, can you get there? Old David did, Psalm 73. He said, my feet have well nigh slipped. David, I'm talking about Psalmist David, King David, the giant killer David. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, I'm talking about him. He said that I was almost gone. He said, my feet had well nigh slipped. He said, I was just about went over the edge of a spiritual disaster. If that happened to David, it happened to you. Amen. And the Christian life don't have to be like this that as much as it is, but it is like a roller coaster. A lot of times it's up and down, and most of the times the downs is our fault. Most of the time in my life the downs are my fault, and the ups are the times that I've listened to God and say, lead on, Captain, lead on, amen? And His desire is to take us higher and to take us further. But if we're not, but the truth is, you may be here tonight, but tomorrow you may be here, and you know. And so we need to get when help's available, we need to get it.
Amen.
Amen. And so we need to make sure that the atmosphere of our church is attractive. I'm talking to the church for a minute. It's not having anything to do with the message, don't guess, but. But we need to make sure our atmosphere is attractive. Amen. Folk will be attracted to your church more so off of atmosphere than activities. I don't know of anything that would probably be more important to RBT in our church than atmosphere. Amen. And the atmosphere in our church is not created by the heat pump or fans or whatever. It's created by a relationship, a spiritual relationship between you and the Holy Spirit and between you and brothers and sisters in Christ that also have the Holy Spirit in them. Amen. It's probably yet to be seen what God can do and would do if He got in a service where everybody was in one mind and one accord. We have an account in Acts 2 where that happened. Chapter 1 and 2, they were in a one mind and one accord event, a prayer, 10-day prayer meeting, 120 folk, and heaven come. Holy Spirit moved in mighty power, and souls, 3,000, were saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Wouldn't you like to see what God can do? Amen. Without the Spirit of God, the best we can do is operate in what man can do. That's it. It's the energy of the flesh. It's our efforts. You know, it's what we can do, and it's how we can conjure up a program, and how we can get together some happenings, and something to be attractive, and something that would keep us coming. But oh, when we're right, Brother John, with the Holy Spirit of God as a church, you know what? It's just kind of like getting in a river. You don't create the current; you just go with it. Amen. That's right. You don't have to create the current. Praise God. In other words, you don't have to create the flow. And I don't know why I'm preaching all this right now. I didn't get up here to say none of that. We don't have to create the flow. The Spirit of God in John 7's already did that. The Bible said, "And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake He of the Spirit." If we get right with God, God will make sure there's rivers running through you. Rivers of influence through you. You know, it's hard to get dry when there's rivers coming out of you. It's hard to be overcome with a drought when there's rivers running out of you. You say, "Preacher, the economy's terrible." Well, don't inform God. He knows all about it. Our spiritual sustenance, our spiritual strength, our spiritual supply is not coming from some bailout from Washington. I want to tell you, our strength tonight comes from the Holy Ghost. You get right with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can handle any desert. The Spirit of God can handle any giant, any mountain, any difficulty, any issue in your life. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. Haven't you read lately? The Bible said, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater. Everybody say greater. Bring them in there. That word "greater" is a comparison word. Bring whatever's bothering you in and lay it up beside the one that's in you. The one that's in you is greater. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That's right. We don't have to have shackles on us to keep us going to the house of God. Oh, as long as we can feed. As long as there's food on the table. As long as there's a good fellowship of the Spirit of God and the presence of God. Amen. You can get some help. Amen. There's no help for you in these lights and in the sheetrock and the building. No, that's not where our help is. The help, it comes from what God does after we get here. Amen. A lot of churches is just a form. It's just like a machine. Just operating. Just functioning and operating. Nothing supernatural going on. Nothing. That's not what church is supposed to be. We're not a machine. We're not an organization. Amen? We're an organism. And an organism is something alive. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, how I got on all that? Amen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I come in tonight, I'm tired too. I ain't feeling too tired right now. Amen. I know some of you are tired and you just wore out and your physical is wanting to get horizontal, amen, and all of that. But I'll tell you what, just in the last 5 minutes, God has got us beyond the physical. God has got our attention off of, wanting to lay down and all of that, and got our mind on something spiritual, amen. Oh, God, help us, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I've already felt as good of the presence of God in the pulpit, I'm talking about, than I did the whole service this morning, as far as my part in the pulpit. Amen. I felt a good touch already in the service since we've been up here. Amen. And that's not me, I assure you. Amen. Hallelujah. You're a pilgrim. Don't forget it. Amen. Hey, I thought I'd let you know. God did. I didn't plan to get up here and say it, but God wanted to just remind you, you're a pilgrim. Hey, man, you weren't meant to stay here. A pilgrim's on the move. He's looking elsewhere. Like Abraham, you're searching for a city whose foundation and builder and maker's God. We're pilgrims. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. A pilgrim is one who's on his way home. Well, where are you going? I'm on my way home. I'm sojourning. I'm not driving the tent stakes down too deep. I'm headed home. Boy, we're pilgrims, and we're also said to be strangers. Amen. You've heard it said here. I've said it several times. A pilgrim is one who's away from home, but he's on his way home. And a stranger is one who can't feel at home until he gets home. Amen. I just don't fit here. For 28 years, I've been a misfit. Hallelujah, amen. Now, I don't fit in with this world. No, we're not on the same page. In fact, the truth is, we're not even in the same book. Amen. Amen. We're not even in the same book. We're not heading in the same direction. We're not after the same things. We're not serving the same Lord. Oh, no. I'm a misfit in this world. But just let me go to church. Let me get around them Bible believers. Let me get around them Jesus lovers. Let me get around that blood-washed crowd. Lord, I'm not a misfit, amen. That's my crowd, amen. I fit in with that crowd, amen. Why, I'm a fellow citizen with you. I'm a fellow citizen with you, praise God. Amen. But there's maybe some here tonight, you're right the opposite. You come to church and you feel like a square peg in a round hole. But you can get around them God-cussing outfits out yonder and you fit in. Something wrong with that? Hey, something's wrong with that picture when you listen to the same stuff they listen to, do the same thing they do, talk the same way they talk. Something bad wrong with that? Amen. That's where I was before I met the Master. That's where I was before I met Jesus, before He saved me by His grace. I fit in. I plugged into the same socket with that crowd. I was working and operating, Brother John, off the same energy of that crowd, serving the same Master. But happy day! Happy day! January 20th, 1981. I got gloriously, wonderfully, amen, can't help it, saved, amen, saved to the uttermost. You know what God did? Unplugged me. Amen. Just unplugged me from this world. Oh, He didn't leave me unplugged. That's where a lot of people act. They act like they're happier when they're lost. They act like they're having a better time when they're out chundering the honky-tonks and around the hoodlums. God don't unplug you from sin and just leave you unplugged and just kind of just be dormant in life. No, God's got a greater socket. God's got a greater plug-in. God's got a greater power, a supply He's wanting to plug you into. He unhooks you from sin and hooks you up with righteousness. He unhooks you from this world and hooks you up with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. Amen. You said, preacher, what are we going to do tonight? Don't ask me. We're done out in the river now. Amen. 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 It's good, isn't it? I'm glad to be saved tonight. I tell you what we ought to do is just deny how we feel and say, thank God, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. I'm glad I'm in the house of God. Troubles are everywhere. Pressures are everywhere, but I'm still saved. God's still good. Heaven's still my home. I can't go to hell. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible's still true. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Yeah. Hey, man. Sometimes We just want a pity party. We want somebody to, oh, bless him, Jesus. We want somebody to feel sorry for us. Sometimes we just need to stand up and say, you know what? I can't help it. I'm just going to praise God. I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to give Him honor tonight. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Determination goes a long way. Amen. That's right. Why would we want to listen to feelings tonight? Y'all won't listen to your feelings in the morning. Brother Jeremy, what time you got to get up in the morning? You go to work tomorrow? 6:00. Reckon you'll feel like getting up in the morning? And might even hit the snooze. You know why? Flesh says, don't get up. This bed feeling good. You're dreaming good. You're in a coma. Hey man, you're in the zone. Cut it, just knock it off, unplug it. No. Responsibility said, get up.
That's right.
Got to go punch the clock. Got to go work. You know what you do right then? Deny your feelings, don't you, Brother Preston? Deny your feelings. Hey man, and do what you're supposed to do. Why don't we do that when we come to church? Amen. Why don't we do that when we come to the house of God? Deny our feelings. Amen. Say, I don't feel so good. Well, are you saved? Well, yes. Amen. Think about that a while.
Amen.
Amen. Well, glory. Amen. Amen. I've been helped already tonight. I've been helped already. I've been helped already. I said this preacher's been helped already. Amen. Tired, wore out. All of us are. You are. You're to look at you. You're wore out. I can tell you. Take my word for it. Ain't God good? I said, ain't God good? That's not good English. That's not good English, but it's true. God's been good. God's still good. God can't help but be good. I want to love Him and bless Him and praise Him and give Him glory. Give Him honor tonight. Amen. He's worthy. Thank God. Amen, Brother Frank. I feel a good breeze of heaven. Amen. I feel a good breeze. Amen. Thank God. Y'all don't even know what I was going to preach. But it's happening anyhow. How does this sound? Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden. Now I will give you rest. Isn't that a summary of what's already been said? Huh? Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Amen. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm telling you, we need some help tonight. Listen, God's people have a recipe right here in these verses. My friend, that there's help for us. Amen. Now, I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear this. I know you don't want to hear this. But the refreshment talked about in these verses, and I will give you rest, comes through responsibility. Oh, preacher, don't get on that responsibility business. Oh, preacher, don't do that. Just tell me that God's going to do it. Salvation, God did do it. But spirituality, God's not going to do it. Spirituality just comes off of responsibility. All three of those words mentioned there, come, take, and learn. All words identifying responsibility. God is saying, you do it. You come. You take. And you learn. If you want some help, then you do it. Amen. If you want some help, you do it. Amen. Come, take, and learn. All three of those words, I'm going to try to mind the Lord here. I don't know it, but God might be just about done already. Amen. God may be just about done already. Are you listening? God wants to help us tonight. There's lost folk in the service. Amen. We don't want them to think in a minute that it's not good to be saved. We want them to know it's wonderful to be saved. I could stand up here and give you a whining session and give you lectures on losing and all that, you know. But what good is that? I want sinners to know that it's wonderful being saved. It's glorious to being saved. It is. Well, glory. Come, take and learn. All three of these words identify responsibility. Did you know that all three of these words are in the imperative mood? You know what's something that's imperative? You know what that is? An imperative, even in the English language, an imperative is an essential. It's something necessary. All three of these words, come, take, and learn, is imperative. In other words, you probably won't come unless you see it to be a necessity. You won't take and you won't learn unless you see and view it to be a necessity. God wants us to know that there are some necessities and there are some essentials, there are some imperatives in our Christian life that we need to listen to and look at and adapt and implement into our lives so that we can have that refreshment that comes through responsibilities. That word come identifies an invitation. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I like this. There's two things stated in that statement right there. Come unto me. Come unto me. First of all, there is a declaration. And then there's a destiny. You remember our little word we pointed out this morning? How many knows what it is? Say it. Unto. Guess what? Jesus said, come unto me. Point reached. Amen. Come, an invitation. There's a declaration here stated. Come unto me. What's in that declaration? Come unto me. Well, first, there is the appeal of Jesus. It is Jesus' idea here. Jesus is the one that's coming up with this. Jesus is the one that's taking the initiative here and saying to you and I, come unto me. So there's the declaration of the appeal. Then there's the declaration of the approachableness. Jesus said, come unto me. Now don't get too excited right here. But that simply means that Jesus said, you can approach me. I am approachable. Thank God for that. Amen. There was a time, Brother Carroll, in the Old Testament economy, we couldn't do that. There was a time, Brother Stallard, we couldn't do that. We couldn't approach God. We couldn't approach Christ. We'd had to went to the priest and got him to went in for us or in our behalf as my representative. But in the New Testament economy, since Jesus' death on the cross, guess what? The veil has been rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Thank God. And we have a standing invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Come unto me identifies an approach. Now think about it. When Jesus said, come unto me, meaning deal with anything that's between us. Come unto me. If you have to get something out of the way to get to me, then do it. Amen. Hey, the Lord just showed me this. When Jesus came to you, He got everything out of the way.
That's right.
I'll tell you what He had to do in order to come to you and approach you. He had to die.
Are
you listening? He dealt with everything. He dealt with everything on God's side that had to be so He could approach us and come to us and come to where we were and deal with us. But I want to tell you here, the text is, come unto me. Deal with what's between you and the Lord. You know, getting right with God, really, I mean, if you boil it down, getting right with God is simple. Getting right with God, basically, is dealing with everything that's between you and the Lord and approaching Him. Making a direction. That word come unto me, those words identify a direction. It identifies a laid out course. Come unto me. Amen. And salvation, He comes to us. But in spirituality, we come to Him. Are you listening? That's right. See, when you was lost, you didn't have no life. A corpse can't come to him. Somebody dead can't come to him. You don't have no life. Amen? You don't have no life. But guess what? When you get saved, that's His work for you because He came to where you were. And by the way, I just thought I'd remind you tonight, you didn't get saved as a result of a process. You didn't get saved as a result, my friend, of a mountain full of good works and keeping a bunch of commandments. You got saved because you was just like me. You was dead in your trespass and sin, sorrier than dirt, deserving of hell. And I want to tell you, the God of heaven at advance at to you came to where you were, and amen, saved you when you asked it. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Then we're to go to Him, Brother Frankie. That's my responsibility. Amen. Thank God. There's a big difference between salvation and spirituality, and all you have to do is look around in the churches. A lot of people saved, but they're 100 miles from spirituality. Amen. Why? Because getting saved was all what God did for them. But they're not wanting to be responsible and be spiritual. Brother, this church, listen, this church right here could have so much power in it. We could find it hard to stand it. It'd be hard to stand it, my friend, if everybody in here, listen, would focus on your spirituality. I'm talking about young people included. Listen, focus on your spirituality. Focus on having a walk with God. Focus on fellowshipping with Jesus. You couldn't contain it. You couldn't contain it. And I know God's been good to us around here, Brother Brian. We'd be fools to deny that. God's been good to us. God's blessed us. But I want to tell you, we're immeasurably away from what's really available for us. We can't even measure really what's out there in front of us. Thank God we can look behind us, Brother McCarrick, we can see growth and we can see progress and we can see blessing on top of blessing, ton on top of tons, amen, a blessing. But up ahead of us, oh, God, help us. But just as God can't make you get saved, God can't make you be spiritual. Come is an invitation. He just lets you know, I'm available, I'm accessible, I'm approachable. Come unto me. Come unto me. And watch this right here. I just seen this. You know what should drive you to Him? Your need of Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor. That is, you're wearied, you're wore out with a burden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know what ought to drive you to Jesus? Your burdens. What ought to drive you to Jesus is the toilsome life, the toll of life, the burdens of life, the pressures of life.
Amen.
Jesus is saying, I can help you. I can give you rest. I can help you. But you've got to come to me. You've got to come unto me. I can't help you unless you're close. Come is an invitation for you to approach Christ. Get close to Christ. The help of Christ comes through closeness.
Amen.
How can you get close to Him and not get help?
Yeah.
I see what the mentality of the woman with the issue of blood was. If I but just can touch the hem of His garment.
Amen.
Not if I could just see Him in the crowd. But if I could just get close. I could just get close, amen. Oh, yes, amen. That's the answer. You come tonight needing an answer, there's the answer. It don't matter what your equation is, that's the answer. Just get close, amen. Draw nigh to Him. There's help for you in closeness. But come unto me. Appeals to your will. I can say, Brother Brian, come up here. You know what that automatically did, Brother Frankie? That laid an appeal at His will. He could say no or yes. He could ignore what I said or He could respond to what I could say. Amen? By saying, Brother Brian, come up here, I would be implying I need you up here. That would be implying, Brother, there's something that's going to go on up here that's not going to go on back there. Amen? Oh, when Jesus said, come unto me, He's got something in mind that's going to go on around Him. That's going to go on close to Him. That's not going to go on when you're distant. That's not going to happen when you're away from Him. Oh, yes. Can't you get that? Get a hold of that. Come unto me. Get close. I want to do something for you.
Amen. Amen. Thank
you, Lord. Watch this right here, Brother Frankie. We may not get off this first word, and that'll be fine. Because I figure if we can take care of the come part, God, the take and the learn part will happen automatically. Amen? In fact, I meant to mention this earlier, but all three of those words are in sequence. In fact, if you don't do the first one, forget the other two.
Amen?
Amen. I'm going to jump way ahead right here in case I don't get to it, Brother Scott. But He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And then He said, take my yoke upon you. In other words, I want you to get close because I want to put my yoke on you. That's why a lot of people don't want clothes. They don't want that yoke. Why not? He said, my yoke is easy. Young people, why would you not want to get yoked up with Jesus? Why would you not want to get yoked up with God? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? He said, my yoke is easy. You said, well, preacher, you know, I would get saved and I would get identified with Jesus by the word take identifies identification. A yoke is identification. You get yoked up with Him, you're identified with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Why wouldn't you not want to do that? Well, I tell you what, there's no fun in it. I'm going to go out here and I want to get yoked up in sin. And I want to, listen, you know what the Bible calls that? It's called yokes of iron. That's right. That's what it stated, I believe, in the book of Jeremiah when God told the children of Israel that He would put yokes of iron on them. Why? When they would make choices to go away from Him and choices to live in rebellion. Are y'all listening to me, young people? Listen, when they make choices to go away from God, God says you're not going to have my yoke on you, which is easy. You're going to have yokes of iron on you.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Sin will wire you out. Yoke of sin will wear you out. Being in bondage to sin will wear you out. Come unto me. Get close. I've got a plan. I want to do something for you. Watch this right here, Brother Jeremy. When Jesus said, come, He didn't have one thing in mind about come unto me so that you can do something for me. He didn't say, come unto me so you can bless me. He didn't say, come unto me so you can help me. He didn't say, come unto me so you can do something for me. No, Jesus, the self-sacrificing Savior that He is, the one that always esteemed others above Himself and was always pouring Himself out to help somebody else, He was telling you, come unto me so I can do something for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come unto me, not that you might help me do something for me. And He's deserving. Oh, yes, He's deserving. But that's not what was behind the word come. He said, come, because I'm going to help you. I want to help you. I want to relieve you. I want to give you rest. Well, glory. Come unto me. Jesus said, your answer is not religion. Your answer is a relationship. Come unto me is come unto a person. Jesus said, your answer is a person. Amen. Oh, how many people in this world thinks their answer is a potion? How many people in this world thinks their answer is a pill? Amen. How many people in this world thinks their answer is a party? How many young people thinks their answer is popularity? Man, if I was just popular, that'd be the deal. Some of the most popular people in this world are some of the most miserable people in this world. No, your answer is not in potions and parties and pills and all of those things. I tell you what your answer is. Jesus said, come unto me. not come unto them. He didn't even say come unto the church. He didn't say come unto the preacher. He didn't say amen. And you could fill in the list there with anything and everything. But He said come unto me. Amen. Jesus said, I am your answer. I am your answer. Amen. So there's a declaration and a destiny. Let's deal with that word take a minute. Let's deal with that word take. Take my yoke upon you. And the word yoke in the Scriptures identifies, well, it is it's a symbol of identification. Could I say this about the yoke real quickly? Of course, we've already talked about it's your responsibility. You take it. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Oh, He got yoked up with our sin when He came to this world. We ought at least get yoked up with Him and His righteousness after salvation and serving. But yoke there, let me just deal with this quickly. That word yoke speaks of conquer. When you put a yoke on an oxen or whatever, when you put that yoke on that oxen, you've conquered that oxen. It's no longer the oxen's will. It's the master's will that's in charge. Take my yoke. God said, take my yoke upon you. He said, in other words, help's going to come when you let me conquer you. Your help is not going to come as long as you're fighting against God and rebelling against God. Amen. Listen to me. I know I preach this till I'm blue in the face. We hear it so much that my friend, it just goes over us like that. But I want to tell you, your help is found in surrender and submission.
Amen.
That's where your help is found. Submission and surrender is not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign, my friend, of defeat. No, it's victory.
Amen.
Amen. Take my yoke. Yoke speaks of conquer. Yoke speaks of control. That yoke is placed on an oxen for the purpose of control. So, preacher, that's the reason I'm not going to do it. Well, run your life then. Stay in the driver's seat of your life as most people are doing today. They absolutely reject the Lordship of Christ. They reject the Lordship, therefore they reject leadership. Because Jesus leads through His Lordship. Amen. As you let Him be boss and master and controller, amen, and chief in your life, then He controls your life. Hey, why would I not, Brother Brian, age 20 years old, why would I not want Him to control me? Because the first 20 years of my life, I controlled me. And look what a mess. I'm not having that yoke of God on me. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to chart my course, and I'm going to make my choices, and I'm going to do my thing. Yeah, yeah. And we'll let you testify one day about the scars and the misery and the regret and all of that in your life. Yeah, you'll stand up and testify one day. I'm saved now, but let me tell you, oh, my life is full of injuries, and oh, I've got mental things I have to fight all the days of my life. I've got desires that I opened up and explored with when I was in my youth, and they haunt me every day of my life. Yeah, go ahead, young lady. Go ahead, young man. Drive your own life. Stay in the control of your own life. Keep your own yoke on your life and see what happens. See what happens. If we had the time, we could pass the mic around through this congregation. There's adult after adult after adult after adult in here that could stand and testify and say, don't do as I did. Don't let experience be your teacher. Don't learn the hard way. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to people when they say, don't go there. If I'd have listened to my daddy, I'd have bypassed a lot of heartaches, Brother Jeremy. If I'd have listened to daddy and mom, if I'd have listened to preaching, all the preaching I've heard in my life, Lord, help us, Jesus. If I'd have listened, if I'd just listened, preaching of itself and by itself won't do you a lick of good. It don't matter who's preaching. It don't matter if it's me. It don't matter. And friend, I'm going to tell you that pulpit right there, I know for a fact in the last 17 years has had some, dynamite men stood in it. It's going to be a sad day at the judgment for RBT when we think about giving an account of all the preaching this church has been exposed to. Preaching don't help you. Preaching that you listen to and apply and heed, that's what helps you. Amen. That Bible right there, inspired of God, but in and of itself and by itself don't help you. Amen. Just being a hearer of the Word only don't help you. It's when you're a doer of the Word. James likens it unto a mirror. A mirror don't do a thing for you. Miss Cove, you use a mirror. Have you ever had a mirror reach out and say, wait just a minute, I got that. Now you're ready to go to school. You ever had a mirror when you get ready to go to school and you start to walk out of wherever the mirror is at and the mirror says, you missed a spot. Hey! Your hair's messed up. You ever had a mirror do that? Nope. In other words, the mirror, all it can do, Brother John, is reveal what's there. The mirror can show you what the problem is, but a mirror is helpless and useless unless you listen to and respond to what you see. That's the Word of God. Amen. 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 Take my yoke upon me. That is, it speaks of control. It speaks of conquer. It speaks of claim. Did you know in the Easter, in the Bible days, in the Bible lands, did you know when there was an oxen, when there was yoke put on oxen? Those yokes were identified with particular masters. In other words, you didn't even have to know whose oxen it was. All you had to know is whose yoke it was. In other words, when Jesus said, my yoke, I'll put my yoke on you, that's going to let everybody know you're mine. When I put my yoke on you, I put my claim on you. Amen. And everybody's going to know you're mine. Hallelujah. Why would we not want everybody to know that we're His? The people that don't want everybody to know that they're His don't want everybody to know that He is theirs. But if you want everybody to know that He is yours, then you don't mind everybody knowing that you're His. Amen? That's a tongue twister, but amen, that's a blessing. I am His and He is mine forever. Speaks of a chore. Yokes are put on oxen for service. You don't put a yoke on oxen just to be doing it. There's some plowing to be done. There's some planting to be done. There's some service to be done. Jesus said, come unto me, take my yoke upon you. That is, I've got some business. I've got some service I want to use your life for. Young people, don't waste your life. Don't wait till your health is broke down and your brain can't think two thoughts at once. And then you give God the little scraps left over in your life. Give God the freshness of your life. Give God your youth. Give God your mind while it can comprehend. And amen. And while your body is strong. Give God your youth. Don't wait till it's broke down and it's wore out and not much left. Amen. Because God's wanting to use you. Your generation, my friend, listen, you young people, your generation, for the most part, I'm talking about for the majority, is going to hell. This generation that's on the scene today does not know one thing about God. Are you listening? There's churches everywhere around here with a steeple stuck in the air that's got young people in it. You'd be hard-pressed to find a young boy or young girl that sold out and surrendered and committed to God. Be hard-pressed to find one. Amen? I've heard preachers testify. I've heard preachers say it. I've got young people, but I don't have not one that are spiritual. Amen? Thank God for our youth. But if I were to get asked, and I'm not going to respond with detail, but if I were to get asked, Preacher Radcliffe, you at RBT's got a bunch of young people. You got a bunch of young people. How many of them are saved? Well, I don't know. I can't really answer that question. But I could get close to answering the second one. Preacher Rackley, how many of your young people are spiritual? Now, I'm not talking about shouting, jumping pews, running the aisles. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a walk with God. The Spirit of God's working in your life Monday through Sunday. I'm talking about it's an important issue to you to choose purity and do right and let God work in your life. If I were to talk about the youth of our church being spiritual, could I use you as a name? Could I put you in as a number? Are you listening? You young people, are you listening? I mean, we got several young people. I mean, you got three families that's got 20 kids. I'd say that's a pretty big advancement. But I wonder how many spiritual. I'm exaggerating what I'm about to say, possibly, but I probably could put all of our young people that would even remotely be close to being spiritual on one hand. In fact, I could probably do away with some fingers on that hand. So, preach, why don't you? Listen, I don't want you to be a good kid.
Yeah, amen.
I want you to be a godly kid.
Amen.
There's a big difference. You can be good without being godly, but you can't be godly without being good. If God somehow or another can preach through me and work through us all, parents, all of us working together, praying for our young people, if God could get us to the place to where, my friend, there's a draw on young ladies and men in our church to be spiritual, to be godly, then guess what goes in with that? They'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be good. Amen. That's my heart. I'm telling you, that's my heart. You know what? You know. Listen. Here in the near future, we're going to start a class, a new class. You know what we're going to call it? The Successors. And you know what it's going to be geared toward? It's going to be taken after Brother, to go through Brother Carroll's class from there, between there and Brother Mark's class. It's going to be the successors. I want you to get this statement, and this is profound. Success without succession is failure. A lot of people probably would say Preacher Rackley is successful somewhat. But if I don't have somebody that's willing to take up and follow in behind me and say, Preacher, you know, you're not always going to be around, and after you're gone or whatever, we're going to carry the load. We're going to carry the torch. It'll be our leg. We used to run the 440 relay, and man, you'd run your part of the race, and then you'd pass that baton off to somebody else. And you worked and practiced to pass that baton off in full stride. The runner wouldn't have to slow up a bit, nor did the one receiving it have to slow up a bit. Stick that hand back, Brother Jeremy, and get that baton. And then come into full stride with it. And run your leg of the race, and that's all we're doing. You're here because it's your leg of the race. Spurgeon, Moody, we hear about all those great saints, great preachers of the past. They've done ran their course. They're done finished. They're done handed it off to the next generation. And the sad part is, my friend, each generation is losing it. We're running out of runners. Success without succession is failure. If we don't have some young boys and girls, my friend, that's starting to come along behind us spiritually, my friend, and believing right and wanting to live right and got a heart for God, listen, we're going to drop the ball in the future. And that's going to be the emphasis of that class is succession. Amen? We ain't going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. We're going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. I'm going to be dealing with straight, important, very important issues in that class. Amen. I'm going to be dealing with a lot of things in that class, a lot of convictions in that class. Because I mean, tell you, listen, we've got young people, we've got youth groups coming up in our churches now that have no convictions. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. A lot of kids, my friend, are throwing their standards aside because it's dress tail and shirt tail and preacher's breeches leg convictions. It's all it is. It's mama's. It's daddy's. It's the preacher's. It's not mine. We need a generation now, Brother John, that's got convictions of their own. It's a settled thing in your heart that this is wrong or this is right or whatever. Hey man, or I'm going to live this way or that way. Hey man, if you don't have no convictions, you'll be blown about by every little wind of change that comes blowing through Rogersville. If you don't have some convictions in your life, you'll be a chameleon Christian. That's that lizard, my friend, that can just kind of blend in with whatever tree it's on. Whatever crowd it's around, it just kind of pulls in the colors and all of a sudden it blends in and it talks like their surroundings and looks like the surroundings. But a generation with some convictions will stand up even if they're an oddball, as did the three Hebrew children. When everybody else was bowing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "We're not bowing." Why? They had some convictions. Whenever everybody in the kingdom, my friend, was going astray into idolatry, Daniel, my friend, was a man of prayer.
Amen.
And even when he knew his prayer was going to get him in trouble, he prayed anyhow.
Amen.
Why? Convictions. He didn't let the lion's den stop him, nor did the lion's den stop God.
Amen.
Well, amen. I didn't mean to get on all that. The chore. And then learn of me. Is instruction. So you have come is invitation, take is identification, and learn is instruction. We have the textbook. We have the right teacher. John 14:26 and 1 John 2:27 tells us the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Amen.
Learn of me. Learn of me. You can't live what you don't want, what you don't know. I'm done. I'm right now done. You can't live what you don't know. You can't live what you've not learned. Jesus said, "Learn of me." Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." That's what Jesus said. Learn of me. Learn of me. There's no excuse for us not to learn of Him. No excuse. Right here it is. Ignorance is no excuse. I can do my part of preaching it. But I can only cover just a fraction. I can just cover the fraction. You need to have a daily diet of yourself where you get in there and learn of Him. Learn of Him. Learn of Him. Not learn about Him. I wish I had time to deal with that. It's not learn about Him. It's learn Him. Learn of me. Learn of me. That is, allow the Spirit of God to bring you into Christ's likeness. And learn of Him. Amen. Let's all stand our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.